Good evening. Tonight's text will be out of Romans chapter 9, verses 9 through 13. So if you'll go ahead and turn there. And while you're turning, I'll just say that because of the graciousness of my Alabama brother, I won't be using my outline that spells Auburn Tigers. So it'll be a little bit shorter for you. Before I start, I'm going to pray and ask the Lord to bless our time. Dear Lord, giver of wisdom and knowledge and understanding, we pray that you would be pleased to shine your light and illumine our souls so that we might see your truth clearly. Help me to be faithful to your word. Help us to respond appropriately by giving you the praise and glory you deserve. In Christ's name, amen. Every even-numbered year, many of you adults attend a public school, or maybe a fire station, or you might even visit another church. You make these visits simply to draw thin lines between arrow tails and arrow heads to make your choices known. These sparse pilgrimages of civic duty are almost always marked by immediate controversy, casting doubt on the choosers, the chosen, and sometimes the process. I am, of course, referring to federal elections, but I'm here to tell you there is one chooser who employs a flawless process, is full of integrity, and even instills this integrity into his chosen. And unlike our federal election process, this chooser's selection never results in sadness or frustration, but always in exuberant joy. You may remember reading about one of his notable early election days when he called Abram out of Haran in Genesis 12. Later this year, God willing, we will read about another notable election day in Genesis chapter 25, that of Jacob, which brings us to tonight's text from Romans chapter 9, verses 9 through 13. In this passage, I would like us to focus on two ideas. Number one, God's choice is unconditional. And number two, God's love is enabling. So from Romans chapter 9, verse 9. For this is the word of promise. At this time I will come and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but there was Rebekah also, when she had conceived twins by one man, our father Isaac. For though the twins were not yet born and had not done anything good or bad, so that God's purpose according to his choice would stand, not because of works, but because of him who calls, it was said to her, the older will serve the younger. Just as it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. Pastor's careful exegesis of God's glorious and masterful plan in Genesis has illuminated an important characteristic of the Almighty, and that is God's decree. You may ask, what is God's decree? And the Westminster Shorter Catechism answers this question by saying, the decrees of God are his eternal purpose, according to the counsel of his will, whereby, for his own glory, he hath foreordained whatsoever comes to pass. In Romans 9, verses 9 through 13, we are reminded of three examples of God's decree in Genesis through the unconditional and unilateral choosing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob for blessing. From these verses in Romans, I would like us to see two things again. Number one, that God unconditionally chooses fallen people for his own glory. And number two, that God shows love through enabling these fallen people to overcome rebellion. Again, that God unconditionally chooses fallen people for his own glory, and that God shows love through enabling these fallen people to overcome rebellion. When we think about God's choice in this passage, we need to consider a few things. Who God chose, how God chose, and why God chose. First, let's consider who God chose. God's choice of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was not a result of any merit or quality these men had in and of themselves. In fact, the only thing, or one thing, that they all had in common is that they were all involved in some notable form of deception. Abraham and Isaac both lied and said that their wives were their sisters in order to save themselves from danger while neglecting their wife's safety and the provisions of God. Also, Jacob famously lied to his own father to steal the birthright or the blessing from his older brother. These are just a few examples that show that these were not blameless men. These were fallen men, yet they were divinely and uniquely chosen by God for his plan. Next, let's consider how God chose. His choice was obviously not based on works, considering the character flaws just mentioned. But more explicitly, the text said that God chose Jacob when he was not yet born, having done anything good or bad. Not only did God make this choice before Jacob was even born, but just to rule out that God's choice wasn't based on any future works, Paul adds, having not done anything good or bad. This was an unconditional choice. This was a unilateral choice. As Chet said last Lord's Day, this choice was planned and initiated by God, and he did not need their signature on the adoption paperwork. Finally, let's look at why God chose. Paul says, it is so that God's purpose according to his choice would stand, or so that God's purpose would stand. So what is God's purpose? We get an idea of what this purpose is and is not in the next phrase when Paul says, it is not because of works, but because of him who calls. In other words, God's purpose is not for his chosen to receive glory because of their works, but instead, as the Catechism states, it is for God's own glory. Therefore, the only reason God chose these men or any of God's chosen people was and is for God's own glory. So we see from this that God unconditionally chooses fallen people for his own glory. And so now let's look at how God shows love through enabling these fallen people to overcome rebellion. There are a few forms of God's love, including the unrestricted love God has for his perfect son, and even the sustaining love that God shows to his fallen creation. But I want us to focus on his special love that God has for his chosen covenant people, as mentioned in verse 13. This is the love that overcomes rebellion and resistance and enables the chosen one to unfailingly receive God's eternal blessings. John Piper called this love a death-conquering, hardness-removing, rebellion-eradicating, sight-imparting, faith-creating, personal, individual, invincible covenant love of which we are absolutely undeserving. And just as God chose Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all of Israel despite themselves, he chose you, Christian. I want you to feel the weight of that reality. God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ before the foundation of the world. That is how much your God loves you, Christian. So what should our response be to this unconditional choosing, this enabling love? Well, from the second half of verse 13, we know that it should not be as Esau, who it says despised his birthright in Genesis 25. No, the only proper response is to this choosing and this love is to fulfill the purpose alluded to in this passage, and that is to glorify God. So how can we glorify God? First, we need to thank him for saving us from our certain death sentence that we were under. Second, we need to praise him for his infinite majesty and might that he demonstrated through his saving grace and work. Third, we need to obey his word and realize the wisdom it contains, as John spoke about last Lord's Day. Finally, We need to proclaim him, as is printed on our bulletins every week, telling the world of his infinite worth and their need for him. Let's pray. Dear Almighty Heavenly Father, you are indeed full of grace and mercy. We praise you for your infinite wisdom in executing your divine plan. We thank you for your unmeasurable and unfailing love for your chosen covenant people. We thank you for not letting us perish in our fallen nature and giving us the strength to overcome it. And we pray that you will help us appreciate the gift of life you have given us by sharing it with those around us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.